Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, happy Friday, Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Once again, we are here to celebrate the possible here on The Upswing. And you know what's possible in Wisconsin in spring? A little bit of snow, but that's okay. We had about 5 inches of snow at our home in beautiful tree-lined Shorewood. Actually, the trees really, truly did look beautiful. It's a little slippery out there, so be safe. But let's embrace it, and let's look forward to a weekend of events, especially basketball, right? So speaking of events, our guest today is a true expert in the space. Even more so, her and her company, they know how to create connections through events. And there's, I've always said, there's an art and really a science to it all when you're working in the event and branding space. What I've always admired about our guest today is her ability to bring together a sense of wow, we all belong here, and we're here for a reason. It's a skill, and it's one that makes the world, especially the world here in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, go around. So let's take a listen, just for about 2 minutes, to Chasing Belonging. It's Angela Diamani's TED Talk. Now, it's about 4 years old, but it sets the table really nicely for our conversation today with Angela, who's a serial entrepreneur. She's CEO of Newwalkie. She's a partner at Nuance, which is a recruitment company, and she's the lead curator of the Milwaukee Founders Community. Let's take a listen.
Every one of us, unfortunately, knows at least one person who is suffering with an issue with opioids. And I would contend that each of us has been personally affected in some way or another by the workforce shortages due to demographic and cultural shifts since the Great Recession. What I have come here to establish today is that both of these issues are the downstream effects of the same crisis. And the solution for both is simple in nature, but profound in impact. I uncovered this a few years ago, and it took me a little while to become articulate about how to share it with others. But this is the story of how it all began. After a few years of hosting social gatherings for our friends and our friends of friends, a group of us decided to take on our biggest challenge yet, an island party right off the coast of the city of Milwaukee. Okay. We were ill-prepared. Being novices to event planning, we forgot just about all the main ingredients. Power, bathrooms, lights, enough food and drinks. And despite our poor planning skills, 3,000 people showed up. They listened to the music, they danced in the prairie grass, and we all watched this bright orange sunset together. How we managed to get away without any liability insurance or even any inkling of a negative incident is only by the grace of God, our good fortunes, or perhaps our extreme naivete. After the crowds had disbanded, a few of us that remained on the park decided to run into the lake, swimming under the stars and reveling in what we had just created. As I floated along and listened to the laughter of my best friends, I thought, this is it. This is what we do now. I laugh a little bit when I think about that moment in time, because all we had actually done was host a really big party by mistake. And yet, there was something more to it, and I could feel it that night. We had somehow managed to create a space for a few thousand strangers to gather together and to feel as though they belonged to each other and to the park, even if it was just for a few moments in time. Recreating that sense of belonging became what fueled our every waking moment. At a merciless pace, we hosted hundreds of events that drew thousands of attendees over and over, always chasing that same high. The reverberation that comes from the confluence of people gathering together and feeling connected to one another.
Connection, community. Fast forward to today, and the company that Angela co-founded, Newwalkie, just turned 15 years old and is continuing to define what a brand engagement agency is and can be. Today, 15 years in the event and branding space, condensed to 1 hour in the Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Upswing Community and Connections. We are back with Angela Diamani from Milwaukee, a brand engagement agency right here in the heart of the city. Congrats on 15 years, Angela, and thanks for taking time to be on the show.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you having me here.
So what was your path? You're a bit of a boomerang, right, back to Milwaukee. You were raised in
raised in California.
Okay.
Raised in California. My folks are from here. They met their first day of college at Marquette.
Okay,
They moved to Boston after school, had me, moved to San Francisco for his residency. They're no longer together. My dad still lives in California. My mom moved back here, and I was visiting her in the summer of 09.
Okay.
And I met Jeremy Foyette, my future business partner, at a party. And he, I was working as a journalist, actually, right out of college. I was only 22 years old at the time. He said, you know, can I get a cup of coffee with you and kind of pick your brain? I have some ideas for, like, what these, like, early days could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. We went to Colectivo by the lake, and he was all over the place the way that he is with all of his ideas. And I said, yeah, we could definitely write a press release for this, but I feel like we should organize it before we tell anyone else about it, which was our dynamic for the whole of our business partnership. Like, he had a million ideas, and I was the one that sort of could see how we might operationalize it and bring things to life.
Right. And you need that yin and yang in a startup company, for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, those early days of Milwaukee were, I don't know that we thought it was going to be a company. It was mostly a passion project, like that TED Talk sort of shared. It was something we did underneath our desks, between meetings, after hours. And it wasn't until that first Urban Island that, you know, we sort of decided, all right, we got to either do this all the way or we have to stop, because we can't be hosting, like, surprise raves that are like a surprise for us too.
Right.
You know?
So kind of fast forward to today a little bit. How do you define a brand engagement agency as you're talking to clients and partners?
Yeah. I mean, I think we work on a lot of different projects. So we work with nonprofit organizations, we work with municipalities, we work with for-profit companies. Everyone has the same problem. They have an audience that they need to get in front of. So usually in the case of a nonprofit, it's because they have a mission that they want highlighted. They need members, donors, right?
Right.
Their mission to be made manifest. A municipality wants tourists and residents, right? They want a population to come to their town for some reason. And a company is either trying to sell their wares or have people come make them, right? And in each case, for whatever reason, they can't seem to get in front of the people they want to get in front of. And after many, many years of doing just that with all of our community-based programming, we think we sort of cracked the code for how to do that. And I would say, despite the, you know, variety of folks we work with, the thing that's the through line is they know that being a part of their community is the best way to do that. They know that, like, beyond getting to their, you know, ROI and the bottom line, right? Because usually in all those cases, they're looking for more tax dollars, they're looking for more donations, they're looking for more money, right? Yeah. As a for-profit company, the way to do that is not just ROI, it's also ROC, return on community, and that by being aligned to their community in some unique way, they're going to get in front of the audiences they want to get in front of. And what we always say is they're going to help kind of rise tides and all boats,
right?
You know what I mean, as a consequence.
Well, and ultimately, it's going to get back to what we talk a lot about on the Upswing is recruitment and retention.
Right.
That's ultimately, the talent pool is small, and we want to make it larger, and what you have to do is better connect with your community.
Right, exactly.
So your team uses discovery and design to create these experiences. Can you give us kind of a few examples of how you've done that?
Yeah, I mean, discovery is maybe the most boring part of the business, right? Everyone always comes to us like, can you make the shiny object? Like, I see the night market. I want 100,000 people outside my door. Can you get me that? And usually we have to say like, okay, totally. Yes, we can work on that. Let's take a time out and do some discovery. That's like, you know, a real audit of what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
You know, you say you want to be in front of X, Y, and Z people, but actually it turns out you should be talking to these people over there. There's always some like moment, you know what I mean, in that process. And that can look like us doing a, you know, proper research, actual strategic planning. You know what I mean? That's sort of the like base level that we need to start with. It's probably the thing that we're least known for, but it's the most impactful, I think, because it's where we really co-create whatever that design's going to be, right? Program, project, initiative, whatever we're going to have as that end state starts with the discovery. And then design is all the fun stuff,
that's right?
Right?
Like putting it all together, making it happen.
I mean, okay, so we're gonna, we know which audience we want to get in front of. We know where they are and how we're gonna get in front of them. What are we gonna do to attract them? And I think it's been interesting, you know, because we started in 2009. So if you can think about that, right? It was like Facebook was just switching from being like a student only thing to something that was open to the public. Mm-hmm. Twitter was only a year old. Like a big part of our growth in the early days was that we knew how to be in these new media modalities, and lots of people were in those. And so we could post things and people would show up and people thought that was magnificent. Okay, fast forward 15 years, everyone knows social media. Yeah. Everyone has a social media strategy. That's not the new shiny thing. But we've always advocated for in-person, in spite of the fact that we could leverage those tools really well. In-person was kind of our secret sauce.
Right. Well, and I think that's a really good setup for what I want to do after the break. I want to talk about recruitment. I want to talk about HR. I want to talk about what is Nuance and how you use that company to recruit and retain right here in Greater Milwaukee. More with Angela when we return. This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined today by the CEO of Milwaukee, Angela Diamani. Angela, so your company has kind of under the umbrella called Nuance, is a recruitment company, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
So at the heart of it, how do we, I want to ask you a couple HR questions here, some targeted fun HR questions. You know, you've done a lot of work in and around the HR space. You know, whose job is it to help build relationships and even friendships at work?
Oh, this is so interesting. So yes, in 2018, Milwaukee had a plethora of employer brand clients. So people who wanted to talk about how great they were to work. And we were doing things to help like elevate that brand. And then people started saying, can you also help us like find this role? And we were like, no, we're not recruiters. You know what I mean? Right. My amazing business partner, Amanda Daring, had over a decade of experience in HR and said, I think we could do this differently. Why don't we partner together to form Nuance? And she and I actually in a couple of weeks are going to have an active debate on this exact topic because we have diametrically opposed views on this.
Okay.
So she thinks at the end of the day, your employer-employee relationship is an exchange, right? You give me your time and your expertise, I give you money. And that like all the sort of like mollycoddling mm-hmm. that we've like, you know, done in the last couple of years, really in the fight for talent, right? Like adding extra benefits, making sure that you can like have a nap zone at work, like all the crazy stuff,
right.
That, you know, you could blame maybe at millennials' feet
right.
for changing the way that we work is like too extreme in that it's not your employer's responsibility to deal with the fact that you don't have friends.
Okay.
I, on the other hand, have the worldview that your place of work is the only cultural institution that we all participate in as a society. So we don't all go to church anymore. We don't all participate in our civic organizations, like that we don't believe in media or our politicians the way we used to, right? Like we're just sort of mired in this terrible malaise as a society.
But we all still want to belong and be a part of
and
something bigger than us.
We all are, unless we're independently wealthy, like obligated to go to work every day.
Right.
So wouldn't it be great then that like we could also, in addition to the exchange for, you know, talent and time, be this source of belonging? And so I do think maybe it's not the sole responsibility of your employer to help you feel connected and to have a best friend at work, but you have a direct influence on someone's life. They're giving you 8-10 hours of their day every day. You spend more time at work with your coworkers than you do with your friends, with your family, in any other part of your like waking life.
So is it about the commitment to the relationships and the process that the employer brings each and every day to create culture?
I do. I mean, I think this is not like an airy-fairy thing. There's a really intentional way to design this, right? And it starts with your candidate experience. It starts with like, you know, things like panel interviews and really showcasing what your true culture is so that someone can opt into it. Because I also think this idea that every company is this like cookie cutter culture is not right. Like people are different. Some people want to work in Wausau mm-hmm. because they want to live in Wausau. So right. Wausau shouldn't try to be Milwaukee and vice versa.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like let's own the parts that we own.
And is there a difference to this in the Midwest? I know I've heard you talk a little bit about kind of the Midwest nice, right?
Mm.
Is there a difference between nice and kind in culture within companies?
I definitely think there is here in the Midwest. People are really nice. You know, having grown up in California, that was like one of the things that I was so weirded out by. Like the fact that you would walk down the street and people greet you. Like I remember being like, why are they saying hello? Like, I don't know them. That's strange. I don't actually, I'm like kind of put off by it. You know what I mean? Like it's something that, but you know, eventually you get sort of like indoctrinated to it. I think, I don't know. I do think that people tend to say things like, we're all a family here. The reason I stayed at my employer is because the people are so great. And I don't know that that's enough from an employer branding perspective to cut through the noise, because no one of 15 years I've been doing this work is like, actually, it sucks to work here. No one says that. You know what I mean? Every careers page is beautifully, you know, kind of like washed with the best flowery language. So I think we do need to have clear differentiation. And I think it's okay if you have a really more intense workplace, you know what I mean? If it really is like work hard as your culture, own that, because there are people who are super type A who are going to love that environment.
Exactly. Right.
You know what I mean?
And then it's upon ourselves as employees and teammates to show up every day as our best selves and kind of take it all in and do what's best ultimately for the greater good,
Agreed. Yes. Absolutely.
All right. I love the conversation around HR and recruitment and retention. And I do think we do it a little differently here in the Midwest, and it's of benefit to our economy as a whole. We're back. Angela Damiani is the CEO of Newwalkie, a branding organization and recruitment retention organization in Greater Milwaukee. Last week, or a few weeks ago, the Midwest Founders Retreat took place that you helped organize and curate. Tell us all about it, Ange.
Sure. So, end of 21, there were a couple of founders, startup founders in the area who said, you know, we all survived the pandemic, which was like, you know, hard to get through. Can we just like go somewhere and blow off some steam? Like, kind of like howl into the night. You know what I mean? Not in front of like our clients, our staff, our investors. Like, let's just be together as founders who kind of understand it. And since then, Jeff, the Milwaukee Founders community has grown to over 1,000 people, which is amazing. They're not just in Milwaukee. They're from a six-state area, the whole Midwest.
Okay.
And there's three things we're focused on. Community, so connection to peers, capital, and helping people get customers. And the retreat was the first time we drew in folks really intentionally across the Midwest.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, how can we have people come for a couple days and be together? We're down at Wingspread.
Okay.
And honestly, it was meant to be sort of just like a safe, fun space, again, to blow off some steam.
Right.
But we had all kinds of conversations, like, how are you staffing up? How are you scaling? We did invite investors as well, so there was some chance to really get to know people for anyone that's about to raise money in that vein. And it was really great. I mean, we had all kinds of conversations about, are there collective action things we should take on? Like, is there a legislative agenda that would make our collective an ecosystem like bigger, brighter, easier to be in? And so all those are early conversations, but I can feel like, I feel the same way I felt at the beginning of Milwaukee, like, oh, there's something here. Like we're hitting the pulse on something.
Well, when you get good, smart people in a room together and you kind of have it, you have it focused around an agenda, but somewhat agenda-less.
Okay, so
that's where the magic happens.
This was like my favorite part about this retreat. And this is just me nerding out about event stuff. I have been wanting to have a very light agenda with a very curated audience. Like, could it just be about the founders wanting to be with the founders? And we did have some content. We had some speakers, of course.
Right.
You got to have
people
that at a
learn.
Conference.
People need takeaways.
Whatever. It's good to have inspiration. But most of it was loose. Really loose. And Wingspread's a great, like, setting for that because it's just so gorgeous and it was perfect weather.
Yeah.
And people could be outside. But it went over, I mean, unlike anything I could see. And Milwaukee gets tasked to host summits and conferences all the time. And we're constantly being asked, like, can we stick another piece of content? Like, let's jam it in 4 concurrent tracks. How many speakers can we get? And I've been feeling like since the pandemic, people's attention spans are zapped. Like, they're over it. They're fried. They're exhausted. And when they're in person, they'd rather be interacting with one another and not sitting quietly watching content stream at them. Man, did it work. It was so, so amazing. And I think I attribute it to the niche audience. It was 40 founders from across the Midwest. The only thing they had in common was they've built something from nothing. But that's a unique type of human.
Yeah. Well, and sharing the same space with the ability to learn and connect, I mean, it's truly important. What are some of the unique challenges that Wisconsin-based founders have that you may not find in other regions?
I think that, I mean, what did we talk about? Well, I'll just say the end of the story was that we decided as a collective, we're not going to let our geography hold us back. That's good. If there are things that are maybe harder here, we're not going to let that define us.
Is there still a perception that the startup culture and the founder culture in the area isn't strong? Because I feel like that is not the case.
I mean, what's been so interesting about the group is, and it's not just me, there's about 12 other lead curators, all founders of their own companies who are coming together to curate what we're doing, is it's like you just put it out there and people are finding it. And it's coming out of the woodwork. I'm not kidding. There's over 1,000 members in the group in less than 2 years. And I think that it's showing to me that we weren't being congregated. We were out there, but we weren't being congregated in this sort of founder first way. What are the issues? They're the same things you always hear. There's not enough access to capital. And on the capital allocator front, they say there's not enough strong, good, seasoned, entepreneurs to make the bet.
Mentors,
on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And so that continues to be like a chicken and egg thing, right? Like until we see, and I think that's unique to Wisconsin and maybe the Midwest, is like, we're a show me culture. Like, show me that this is going to work.
Right.
And as an asset class, you know, VC money is risky. It's not guaranteed. I mean, nothing in life is guaranteed, if we've seen anything with like what happened with SVB and, you know, the financial crisis during the pandemic anyway. If somehow we didn't remember any of that, right? We have amnesia about that, even though that just happened.
Right.
But it's risky, and we have investors here who want a sure thing, and, you know, most startups fail. And I think the thing that we've been trying to tackle as a collective is like, that's okay.
Right.
It's okay to have tried and to have failed, because you'll just do it again.
Because ultimately, failure gets us to success and builds more community and continues to grow the startup ecosystem. I want to talk about some of your projects on tap for your 15th year at Milwaukee. We'll be right back. We're back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Honored and pleased today to be joined by Angela Diamante, CEO of Milwaukee. So many projects on your 15-year list, and it's going to be hard for us to get through them all. But
I know. We won't probably be able to. I'll give you some highlights.
Let's go. Highlights. Tell us what the Howie is.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so you know our origin story is that we were in the Grand Avenue Mall.
Okay,
right?
Yes, like, right,
we
downstairs here at the Avenue, right?
Creativity Works Here program circa 2010, 2011. They're trying to get startups in here. We had a spot in the basement of the Grand Avenue. It was glorious for our early days, right?
Yes.
We were excited to have a space. Well, at that same time, there were a whole bunch of other startups in the building, and it was a vibe. I mean, it was weird to be in an abandoned mall, for sure, but it was a vibe.
Yeah.
Since that time, because we eventually moved out and had a real office in the City Center building, real grown up. That also felt like a step in our evolution. But we've been sort of missing the vibes, you know what I mean? And so my partner, Amanda Daring, and I started looking at real estate over a year ago. What could be ours, like that we could make our own? And we found this beautiful little duplex that was a liquor store on the first floor and an apartment upstairs in Bayview, across from the Bubbler, if you know Southside Bars. And we've turned downstairs into a co-working space for our teams who are remote first.
Okay.
So that means like mostly they work at home, probably in their pajamas, except for when we have client meetings, brainstorming team.
Embracing
meetings.
The neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed.
And then upstairs, we're keeping it as a guest house because of our remote staff who live across the nation now. When they want to come in, they have a place to stay.
Ooh,
so,
I like that model.
Super exciting. We're done with the first floor renovations. Second floor is literally, floors are being done this week.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll be ready to have a grand opening and show it to the world.
I look
later
forward
in the
to
spring.
Being there.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
going to be really fun.
So the Sargento Roadshow, is that back? Sargento,
Sargento's
I know, is a partner.
Back. Yep.
What do you do with them, and how do you help them recruit and connect?
So they're a talent branding client of ours.
Okay.
They're looking at how to get people to think about Sargento before they need a job and to think about going to Plymouth, Wisconsin. You know what I mean? Because they're totally in office and they want you to move to that part of Sheboygan County. The roadshow is really fun. So we are taking Sargento, and it's amazing food culture on the road. They're going to be hopping up the Milwaukee Night Market. They're going to be, we're going to Madison for a day to be on the UW campus. You know, we're going all around the state to sort of have people eat cheese.
A statewide tour around cheese, with the connection, hey, we want you to come to our community to work.
And honestly, it's a way to literally taste what it would mean to work at Sargento.
So the Be Kind Parklet, I know you did a parklet project in downtown Milwaukee. Tell us all about this. I love the message. I can see the signs right now driving by it. Be kind. What could be better than that?
North Shore Bank, one of our favorite clients, their mission is to, have people bank on kindness. And they have all sorts of different things in that sort of like philanthropic vein. But they also use the message to create these little pocket parks pop up in the summer the last couple of years. So we did one in downtown Milwaukee. We did one in Pewaukee last year. This year we're going up to Howard Schwamigo, kind of in the greater Green Bay area to do the same thing. Really fun thing. We're using a local artist, but we're also using their local high school and the high schoolers there to help us create the mural that'll go up. And they'll be programming there throughout the summer as well. So,
all right.
Super exciting.
We got to head to a final break. I do want to get an update on the Harley-Davidson Park project you're working on because there's an amazing concert venue going up there in the Near West Side. But we'll wrap up our conversation with Angela Diamante when we return on this beautiful yet somewhat snowy Friday. This is The Upswing.
I can't love you more than my hometown.
Welcome back and happy Friday. We're all about conversations with people that care and do. Angela Diamante, the CEO of Newwalkie, joins us today. Definitely a doer and someone that truly cares about building connections, which is wonderful. So Founders Day, Ange, is set for
next Wednesday,
the 27th at Ward 4, which is a co-working space and building right on St. Paul, just outside of downtown Milwaukee. Tell us all about Founders Day.
Sure, yeah. It's a new initiative of the Milwaukee Tech Hub, actually. And they have a bunch of different partners, CSA partners, the Milwaukee Founders community, a couple of us, who are saying, let's just have a space sort of like for an unplanned day. Like if you want to go work, you're working from home anyway, why not come co-work with other founders? Anyone that's a founder would be welcome. It's free.
Okay.
At the end of the day,
open to any entrepreneurs, or do you have to be a founder of your own company to show up?
Any kind of entrepreneur, welcome to come.
All right.
It's a good vibe. We did one in February. I would say there were like 80-some people who actually came. At 4 o'clock, we do close laptops and crack some beers. So there's a social nature to it, too.
That's good.
Yeah, all day long on next Wednesday, the 27th.
All right. How many people do you expect?
Probably about the same, a couple dozen that actually show up and want to hang out, work all day.
Okay.
I mean, that kind of thing.
Very good. All right. Curated co-working spaces and events, really important. So I wanted to go back and talk about your relationship with Harley-Davidson and kind of helping them on their Harley-Davidson Park and concert venue. What's the timetable there? And what are you most excited about?
Super exciting. So Harley-Davidson has gone fully remote with their staff, and their building's not being used the way they used to. Yeah. So they decided to create a park in where their parking lot used to be for their employees. I'm telling you, Jeff, this is the most beautiful park I've ever seen in my life. The thoughtfulness and intentionality with the way that it was designed, not only from the architects, but like they had over 200 members of the community contribute to it. All those thoughts were, baked into this design. Open this June.
Okay.
It's going to be activated for homecoming, which now is not an every 5-year celebration. It's every year produced by Harley-Davidson. So they'll have the big thing at Vets Park, the big concert.
Yep.
There'll also be, obviously, things that happen at the dealership. And now in Davidson Park, there will be activities as well.
So it will be a public park and kind of a mini concert venue,
exactly.
Right? I mean, it's such a walkable area over there in the Near West Side that, really, when you look at the former Miller, Molson Coors there and Harley-Davidson, it was that kind of initial, wow, this is a neighborhood where people can walk to work, and it's kind of getting back to its roots.
Absolutely. And I think that's the intention behind it, is how can this be a real community park? And so we're actively helping with the grand opening and obviously what happens during homecoming. We're also looking for community partners. So if folks want to get involved, if you're looking for a cool venue to host something, reach out. We want to talk to you. We want to figure out what the 365 activation is for this amazing new gift that Harley's giving to our community. I mean, it's so generous and amazing.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we'll do a live Upswing show from there this summer.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
That's what it's all about. Yes. Okay. I wanted to talk briefly in our last couple of minutes. Anything in your career as a female founder that you're like kicking yourself on, like, I had this regret or this thing I really wanted to do? Are you just a kind of a onward and upward always mentality?
Well, my like motto is uncompromising momentum forward. I'm trying to think if I have any real regrets. I'm not a regret person, Jeff, because I just think along the way, we've had other iterations. We've tried having an art advocacy organization called Art Milwaukee. We tried buying another building that we couldn't close on because it was like the week that the world was falling apart with COVID. Like, we've had, quote, mistakes that have even set us back financially. But I think every single thing, I feel like it's, if I look at the arc of my career, it's like it was just the next thing that needed to happen. And it's like building blocks that now I'm standing on as a consequence. And so I don't know that I have any like deep regrets.
Well, some of those failures have led to big successes like Art 64, which is going to happen again in Wauwatosa this summer. And I'm guessing that's part of, you know, it's everything that you've done. Suddenly, it's a brand new event that's become super popular.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Art 64 is something we pitched. I don't know. Jeremy probably pitched it to everyone that would listen to him for years and years and years. This idea of almost doing like an NCAA bracket tournament. 64 artists go head to head. The winner gets $20,000. And it wasn't until we met Melissa Weiss from the city of Wauwatosa and Discover Wauwatosa, which is their tourism commission. And they said, oh, we're wanting to be known as an arts destination. We would love to have that. And this year's the third iteration. Over 90% of the 64 artists are not from Wisconsin. So they're coming in to Wisconsin to compete, which I think is really exciting to be able to show off Wauwatosa in this new way. And man, it's a good time. It's a 2-day festival all about the artists. It's a really special and unique experience.
Creating new centers of gravity around entrepreneurship and art in Greater Milwaukee. That's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Angela Diamani from Milwaukee and Nuance, thanks for taking the time today to be on The Upswing. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, too.
Have a good weekend.